Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio and Television Network. Our videos today are all related and reveal that far from so many Americans' perception that America has been saved with the re-election of Donald Trump, we remain in the fight of our lives today and continue to face our utter destruction as a nation, along with our cherished individual freedoms and prosperity. And as always, in making these video presentations of my commentary, I want to emphasize that I am in no way advocating any type of violence or illegality in response to the threats we as a nation and a people face from our enemies. These video presentations discuss the staggering government-private sector corruption being uncovered in Minnesota and now in other states, the highly organized and widespread election and vote fraud being uncovered, showing our elections have been rigged in favor of the communist-oriented Democratic Party and its corrupt Republican allies, and their links to the communist narco-terrorist state of Venezuela and its allies in Cuba, Russia, China, and Iran, among others. We Trump supporters have known for years that the 2020 election was stolen, but we couldn't prove it. Now a Trump administration commission investigating the massive evidence of this and the same corruption of our elections before and after 2020 is about to release to the public this evidence very soon, as I understand. Trump has been dropping hints about this for weeks, such as his recent statements about election corruption in California, where there is also massive fraud being uncovered, which, again, appears to have been benefiting the corrupt Democratic Party, which now all but totally controls that state, that is California, as well as Minnesota, Illinois, New York, and elsewhere. Like many of you, I'm sure, I have continually wondered how we managed to defeat this massive fraud in 2024, which would have enabled the communists and their allied corrupt Democrats and Republicans from yet again installing a communist and globalist puppet, another communist and globalist puppet, in this case Kamala Harris, in the White House, and at the same time taking both houses of Congress. I've been reading and seeing bits and pieces of information about how Trump managed to win in 2024 for months now, from the new book that came out last year, titled Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide by Ralph Pezzullo, that's P-E-Z-Z-U-L-L-O, which is available on Amazon.com. And also from snippets of reports regarding this in the alternative media. As one example of this, let me quote from an analysis recently on Substack.com. This involves recent reporting on this matter by journalist and commentator Emerald Robinson, I believe on her Absolute Truth program on Lindell TV. And I begin with the analysis quote. A few weeks before the 2024 election, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, R. Oklahoma, and former Senator David Perdue, finally arranged a meeting between Trump advisor Susie Wiles and the one man who could explain exactly how America's election systems are rigged. The meeting took place at Mar-a-Lago, said Robinson, kicking off her thread of reporting on this. Wiles now serves as the White House Chief of Staff, but in 2024, she was heading up Trump's 2024 presidential campaign apparatus. According to Robinson, she was briefed on these alleged election problems and then brought these concerns to Mr. Musk, and we are referring to Elon Musk here, who had the technical skills and know-how to confirm the validity of such claims. She continued, so Musk read the AI summary of the technical data, and then he picked up his phone and made a call. Quote, we have a problem. It's true, close quote, Musk reportedly said. Then Musk got on a plane and to host a Trump rally in Pennsylvania. Emerald Robinson's commentary goes on, reporting goes on. In October, Musk publicly cast doubt on the machine-led voting apparatus in America. In several comments he made while on stage at a rally in Pennsylvania, Robinson noted. Robinson also reported that the man who briefed Musk had on his team two familiar faces from the election integrity movement, Patrick Byrne and Gary Burtson. Now I'm diverting to my own commentary here. It's interesting that Gary Burtson, a retired CIA operative, along with another longtime self-professed CIA operative, founder and former Overstock.com CEO Patrick Byrne, who you'll see and hear from shortly on our video presentations today. On our last program, we featured part of an interview with Gary Burtson, who's long been investigating this international election fraud using widely used electronic voting equipment in more than 70 countries. Now, we're also talking, there's other types of fraud, but this is something that's been very key to the election fraud in the U.S. and all these other countries, they're saying. Burtson stated that the U.S. Democratic Party officials and some Republicans knew about all this. If so, is it any wonder the Democrats are fighting the Trump administration's military actions against Venezuela, which is being linked in the book I mentioned and in elsewhere to these voting machine corruption, which is allowing, reportedly, as I understand it, foreign or domestic and or foreign remote intervention in vote totals and manipulation of those totals so they can be flipped from one candidate to another, such as from Trump to Biden. Getting back to Emerald Robinson's reporting, quote, this team had recruited a dozen people who knew how the rigged system was built in Venezuela, she stated. Robinson alleged in her reporting that these whistleblowers were hiding out in Switzerland before the election, where they were joined by retired General Mike Flynn, the former national security advisor to Donald Trump. Flynn asked, how long has election fraud been going on? They said, Venezuela now rigs it in 72 countries for the last 20 years, Robinson said. In other words, election fraud has been going on in 72 countries, including the U.S. and Venezuela, for the last 20 years. According to Robinson, Musk's technical teams allegedly met with these whistleblowers over video and eventually, quote, relevant data and IP addresses, unquote, of potentially meddlesome foreign entities were identified. Continuing, quote, a cybersecurity team got the data, Robinson alleged. Three days before the 2024 election, the Dominion office in Serbia was hit. That's where they have their servers, it's been reported. Their computers were useless. On election day, nobody knew if the cybersecurity team had been successful knocking out the Serbian computers. Everybody at Mar-a-Lago had to wait for the results without certainty. The man who briefed Musk flew to Oslo that day. His team would flee the USA if they failed, close quote. And continuing, Robinson said she has interviewed, quote, the team that saved the 2024 election, close quote, on several occasions. She also said that she has confirmed key facts with ODNI, that's the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And despite President Trump being back in office, Robinson has strongly suggested that, quote, our intel agencies are so compromised that none of them really wants to investigate election fraud, close quote. She cited multiple alleged attempts to investigate the circumstances surrounding potential election fraud, attempts that supposedly never panned out. The central role of Venezuela in this story could be one of the most important aspects of Robinson's reporting. Quote, my sources, question mark, the team that saved the 2024 election. My proof, Venezuela is now surrounded by American warships, close quote, she remarked on X. And as I said earlier, I believe this is why, this is maybe one of the most important reasons why the Trump administration is taking action militarily against Venezuela and seeking regime change there. Whether that's going to stop the corruption of the machines with the voting machines is anyone's guess at this point. If I understand correctly what he said, Gary Bernson, who's also mentioned prominently in the book I mentioned, has said the CIA, or more correctly, elements within the agency, was colluding with the Venezuelan government on their plotting and actions against the U.S. This would be treason, in my opinion, but you have to prove and prosecute it. But you see, as others have contended, there is reportedly something of a war going on within our government between these pro-communist, pro-globalist elements aligned with Venezuela, Cuba, China, Russia, Iran, and others. And these countries have, as you'll hear, have big interests in Venezuela and a lot of support for it. And between these people and the pro-Trump, pro-freedom elements within our intelligence community, Department of Justice, and other parts of the government. Bernson said these people installed by the Obama and Biden administrations and their allies, such as former CIA Director John Brennan, see it as their duty to resist the Trump administration's policies. Let's begin with our video presentations. The first is commentary by Alex Jones on his December 28th The Alex Jones Show on his embattled website, Infowars.com, also rebroadcast on, or broadcast at the same time, or rebroadcast on X.com and elsewhere. Jones is discussing the fraud being uncovered in Minnesota and who he believes it's been benefiting, namely the Democratic Party. Alex Jones and one of his regular contributors, former Trump National Security Advisor, who was just previously mentioned, retired Army General Michael Flynn, don't think the FBI under Cash Patel or the DOJ under Pam Bondi will actually step in and reveal the true extent, currently reportedly at $24 billion, of the massive corruption and fraud in Minnesota, or of the same in the rest of the nation. However, Cash Patel has said what his agency and others are uncovering in Minnesota is just the tip of the iceberg, and Patel has pledged to go after everyone involved. General Flynn recently posted a letter to President Trump on Flynn's X.com pages, declaring that if the Trump administration doesn't move faster and decisively to hold the bad actors working against our country and bring down the USA, they will come back, these people will come back and take down Trump and his supporters as they reinstate the Marxist revolution begun in earnest with the Biden administration. Jones is also angry at the DOJ and FBI for supposedly killing an investigation into the FBI's alleged role in Democrat lawfare against Jones that has resulted in Jones having to declare bankruptcy and face the selling off at auction of Infowars.com. Regardless of what's actually happening, I'm sure the DOJ is overwhelmed right now with all the calls for its investigation into so many corrupt figures and organizations, including its current work required to protect victims before releasing another million documents related to the Epstein investigation. The second video today relates to even more corruption being uncovered in California, which is one of the few remaining where one of the few remaining Republican members of Congress there has called California the fraud capital of America.
You know, you hear me talk about it. There's lots of these judges, but in Minnesota, $7 plus million to a mailbox for health care, and then the judge overturns it. Think about that. So that's clip 9. A Minnesota leftist judge overturned a Somali fraud guilty verdict, which was unanimous. And then we'll go to the state rep and the state senator, gunned down, murdered, because they're the two people that voted to stop just funding illegal aliens. Because we're talking about Somalis here. That's a whole separate deal. And of course, half of them there illegally. But imagine the fraud to the illegal aliens. We already know FEMA was spending, what, 40-something billion a year when Trump got back in to house them in 5-star and 4-star hotels. Same thing in Europe. Same scam. Same NGOs. Same NGOs that ran that invasion had run the invasion here. They were in charge of Border Patrol. It is trillions of dollars, folks, while they destroy the country. But through the law firms and the NGOs and all of them, they get big slices of this money and campaign money. And the Somalis have their mob bosses that collect all the money and pay their cut to walls, and then that goes up the chain to Pelosi, Obama, and the rest of them. You're going to find the Somalis, and we've seen the numbers, I see it over and over again, you'll have one Somali family that's stolen $25 million. And then they'll look at their bank records and go, well, in the 3 years, 4 years they stole this, they spent like six, seven. Where'd the money go? And they find it's being sent to Somalia, but also to bank accounts in the U.S. So it's being sent to terrorists in Somalia, part of it, and then the rest to Democrats. And that's what's coming out. You'll see another one. Oh, this family in the 1 year stole $10 million, but they only pocketed three, but there was no bills. Where'd the other? And then they're tracking, and it's going to terrorists, Muslim Brotherhood, destabilize, you know, take over, and to the Democrats. And so the Somalis have been chosen because they're pirates. It's a criminal culture in the leadership. It's a mafia. And so this is a lot more than 10% of the big guy. I think when it all comes out from the numbers I've seen, 70% of the money is paid to the Democrats, to the money laundering operations, the slice goes to Republicans that are involved. And of that 70%, 30-40% is going to Somalia, which we already know billions is going there, but you have to understand, they're still getting a slice, but I've looked at in the news reports, the indictments that have happened, they're only getting, you know, 20-30% of it. They're the bag men, which is still a nice payment for a bag man. So here is the report on the judge saying, and she looks like she's 12 years old, and by the way, Soros did finance them. See, it's not, for Soros, it's not just about get out of jail free for criminals, it's about they can then rob and steal it. And the judges protect the criminal activity, and then the judges also, with the prosecutors, go after conservatives and patriots. It's not just about letting criminals out, it's about persecuting us. Here's the clip.
A big reversal in a $7.2 million fraud case in Hennepin County. The judge has thrown out the jury's guilty verdict.
This wasn't some technical hiccup. These fraudsters, Abdel Fattah Yusuf and Lul Ahmed, were convicted on six counts of charges, months of evidence, a jury that deliberated for hours, all erased in one ruling.
Yusuf and his wife, Lul Ahmed, were charged with stealing $7.2 million of taxpayer money through Medicaid overbilling in a personal care assistant, or PCA, scam. The couple allegedly spent tens of thousands of the fraud money.
And here's the part that rattled people inside the system. The judge didn't say the fraud didn't happen. She said the state couldn't prove who was responsible, which raised this question on everyone's minds. If a case this obvious can't hold, what happens to the rest? Because this ruling hit, while Minnesota is already buried under billion-dollar fraud scandals, overseas money trails, and growing federal probes into how taxpayer money keeps disappearing. And here's the twist most people missed. Once that verdict collapsed, the issue stopped being one defendant. It became about whether Minnesota's system can still enforce fraud at all, or whether the feds are stepping in because the state no longer can. And that's where this story really starts. Here's why this case collapsing came out of nowhere and was shocking for most people. This wasn't a messy jury split or a hung panel. It was a unanimous guilty verdict. And that's because all the facts were on the prosecution's side. The fraudulent couple had a home healthcare business that barely existed and billing Minnesota's Medicaid program for services that either weren't documented or never happened at all. But that wasn't all.
The jury heard evidence that he ran his home healthcare company, Promise Health, out of a mailbox at a Central Avenue address where multiple other home health care companies were supposedly located.
And what's more, they followed the money and found a whole lot of it in Abdel Fattah's accounts. Over $1 million moved from the business into personal accounts. Nearly $400,000 withdrawn in cash. You might be thinking, what could they have possibly needed that much money for? Well, according to prosecutors, they splurged it on luxury purchases, mansions, luxury vacations, a lifestyle that stood out immediately because it didn't exactly line up with their paycheck.
The files documenting spending sprees in which defendants, get this, took taxpayer money that was obviously meant to feed hungry kids during the pandemic, and instead they used it to buy fancy cars, property, jewelry.
And when jurors heard all that evidence, it only took them a few hours to reach a verdict. The jury foreperson later said this about the case.
It was not a difficult decision whatsoever. The deliberation took probably 4 hours at most, based off of the state's evidence that was presented.
I know that people will be hurt by that vote, and we worked very hard to try to get a budget deal.
that wouldn't include that provision.
And that's the state rep gunned down by the man that said he was Tim Walz's assassin. There's Judge Sarah West. Looks like she's a hardcore super leftist on record. Looks like she's 12 years old. And that's who let Somalis off, stealing $7.2 million, not serving one person, saying there's no evidence who was involved in it. What the hell are you talking about? And there's interviews with the jury saying it was unbelievable. And they're living in million-dollar houses and driving Porsches. And they're small potatoes. Nick Shirley has done a bunch of reports in one day with local investigators. One day. Showed over $100 million proven shacks, P.O. boxes, daycares that are P.O. boxes, daycares that are all blacked out. But most of them don't answer the door. When they do, they scream at them. No one's inside but, like, you know, women in hijabs. And they go to facility after facility. They talk to locals. They talk to neighbors. Have you ever seen people there? No, maybe once a month the man comes, smokes a cigarette. Maybe, you know, every few months we see somebody in there. You ever seen kids? No. They show the snow, no footprints, facility after facility after facility after facility after facility. And it's now at $24 billion. And they're finding more. And now they're finding the Obamacare fraud. It hasn't been added yet. It's estimated to be in the last 3 years, get ready for it in Minnesota alone, $40 plus billion. Now we're at $64 billion. And the two state reps, the rep and the senator that voted against giving the unlimited money, got appointed by Tim Walz. Pew, pew. And then he finally sends a letter out and says, I've been betrayed and set up. I was sent to kill these people for Walz because they voted wrong and he was going to blame Trump during the No Kings protest. Now he's starting to figure it out. And don't hold your breath for Cash Patel's FBI to do anything real. Oh, they might bust a few of the places. But see, the higher ups, not Trump, but the people in the strata know, oh my God, that will lend credence to all of it around the country. It will cut out all the fraud money. And a piece of it goes to the Republicans that are corrupt. And it'll bring the whole system down. I mean, remember, they already found over $1 trillion stolen by Biden with NGOs. Department of Energy, in the last 76 days of the Biden administration, when Trump was president-elect, $92 plus billion, over half of it with no receipt, no record where it went, sent to NGOs out of the Department of Energy. In that 76 days, over $200 billion out of the Department of the EPA just disappeared. And then they get the undercover people going, yeah, we just had to get rid of it so Trump wouldn't get it. So we just threw gold bars off the Titanic, was the analogy. And then they found tens of billions per check going into bank accounts with no names on them.
California Congressman Kevin Kiley, he is sounding the alarm in his home state, saying under Governor Gavin Newsom's leadership, it has become the, quote, fraud capital of America.
And we have team coverage. Our national correspondent, Alana Austin, is on Capitol Hill with more on the investigations into Tim Walz. But we start with correspondent Heather Myers, who has more on what is going on in California, a rainy day out there on the West Coast. Heather, what can you tell us?
Well, good afternoon to you, Katrina and Andrew. This latest report was issued by the state auditor, and that's a nonpartisan position. That state auditor now puts eight state agencies on the high-risk list of agencies to watch out for things like fraud and mismanagement as well as waste. Here's a look at that 92-page report. Newly added to the high-risk list is California's food stamp program. If the state doesn't get the improper payments under control, it could cost an extra $2.5 billion. Also on there is the Department of Finance, which was tasked with giving out COVID relief funds. Critics say $32 billion of that was taken by fraudsters. Then there are infrastructure issues like California's deteriorating dams and also the high-speed train that's already cost taxpayers $18 billion without a single section of track complete. Other reports cite $24 billion spent on the homeless issue that critics claim the state lost track of. More recently, there's a report that says California cell phone users paid a surcharge for years to upgrade the state's 911 system. Here's Congressman Kevin Kiley talking about what happened to that plan.
That after spending $650 million on that system, the state is totally scrapping it and starting over, completely wasting the money because the technology doesn't work. Mind you, we are very close to Silicon Valley in Sacramento, and yet the government can't figure out how to make basic technology perform.
Now, here's a segment from a recent Stephen Gardner show on YouTube, where Gardner discusses the mounting evidence of election fraud.
This beautiful Make America Great hat. You guys, huge news coming out about election integrity, about election rigging. We're going to jump into it. This is amazing. Check this out. This will be so disturbing to you. Well, it turns out that Fulton County, you know, where District Attorney Fonnie Willis was trying to jail the president for hundreds of years for asking, have we counted all of the ballots? Was everything done correctly? Well, now Fulton County, Georgia admits 315,000 ballots were not signed in the 2020 election. They literally don't know who those people are. Fulton County, Georgia told the Georgia State Election Board on December 9th, it does not dispute that tabulator tapes for roughly 315,000 votes in 2020 lacked required poll work signature. County Attorney Ann Brumbaugh acknowledged it was a violation of the rule. Georgia Secretary of State investigation summary later substantiated that 36 of the 37 advanced voting precincts failed to sign tabulation tapes as required by statute. Yet the totals were still folded in, giving Biden the win. So he didn't win. He did not win. This was an election decided by 11,000 votes. And they tried to jail the president of the United States for asking, do we have all the votes? Are there any votes outstanding? Was this above board? Was this done correctly? And they literally put him through millions and millions of dollars. He had to get that beautiful mugshot. And now we're finding out 315,000 weren't even verified. This is disgusting to me. I mean, like I said the other day, I try to always look at the bright side of stuff. But you guys, we had to go through Joseph Robinette Yogurt for Brains Biden because these guys lied and didn't do a real election. But it gets worse than that. Look at this. Georgia affidavit of Mark Wingate, member of the Fulton County Board of Registration and Election. The board was told that Fulton County did not perform any signature verification on any absentee mail-in ballots in the 2020 election. So they weren't verifying anything. They weren't doing anything to make sure that this election was above board. They called President Trump a liar. They said that he was trying to rig the election. Now we're finding out they didn't do the verification of signatures. So these clowns down in Georgia lied to the American people, and they didn't even verify. So hundreds of thousands of ballots are coming in. They're not even verifying them. They're not even seeing whether they were from an illegal immigrant or a computer or mailed from China. Now, more about that is going to be coming out. I wish I could tell you, but I spoke to somebody high up in the military who let me know that something big is coming, and I wish I could tell you more. That's all I can tell you. But let me move on to this next segment. Do not go, because listen to this. You guys remember the show Cheers and Frasier with Kelsey Grammer? He's a great patriot, and he's been pretty quiet out in Hollywood. It's a big risk to come out as a Republican. It's an even bigger risk to back President Donald J. Trump. But according to Kelsey Grammer, he thinks that President Trump is doing an amazing job. He thinks that America is becoming great because of President Trump. But let me show you what he said, because he said, after watching everything, after studying out, he believes that elections in California are rigged and that everything is built to make sure that Democrats remain in power. Let me show you this, because it was really cool to hear from somebody that I respect and watched growing up.
I remember when Jane Fonda was talking about the lockdown and COVID-19. She said, if we can't figure out how to unseat this president with a pandemic and the stuff that all the power and the mail-in ballots, she said it right out loud. She said, well, then we're ridiculous. We're like, incapable of winning an election. And she was right. But that is what they needed to win it. And then they needed to open up the borders and bring in enough people to go ahead and win the election. I didn't used to believe that. I didn't believe that Democrats would ever resort to that. But in watching it, the voting practices that they've implemented here in California to allow anybody to vote, as long as they're just, you know, walking around and have a heartbeat, is staggering. And they have no interest in it being legal. None at all. And for those who do not have a heartbeat but haven't been dropped from the rolls, they want them to vote too. And they'll even let them vote several times. But I walked into the vote, my polling place for the 2020 election. And I said, listen, I thought I'd just bring this in. This is my mail-in ballot. I wanted to bring it in and make sure you guys got it. And the girl looked at me and she said, she punched a couple of buttons and said, oh, that's not legal. Your ballot is illegal. It's invalid. I said, why? And she said, no reason. You can fill out a provisional ballot if you'd like. I said, fine. So I reached in my pocket. I said, let me give you some ID. And she said, oh, no, it's against the law for me to take ID. So I thought, well, it's mixed up. And I did finally get noticed about a year and a half ago that ballot was not counted.
Can you believe that? This is one of the most beloved and respected members of Hollywood finally coming out saying, they sent me this mail-in ballot. I fill it out. They counted that. Then I try to bring it in. They say, no, that's illegal. They say, you can fill out a second ballot, right? And then they say, no, do not show us your ID. That is against the law in California. We do not want to know who is voting in these elections. And then it wasn't until years later that he was able to finally get information that his vote for Donald Trump was never counted. Gosh dang. Unbelievable. I get so sick of this, but I hope you guys appreciate this information that I'm bringing to you. Okay, now, Mike Lindell, he made a huge announcement about something big that is coming in January. I have spoken with a couple of people that I have connections with. They say, yes, it's true. Also, there is a team being put together to release information. I wish I could share more, but let me show you what Alex Jones and Mike Lindell discussed over on his show about what is coming.
What do you make of their best lineup being Kamala Harris saying she basically is going to run for president? I mean, she pulled 2%. In the Democrat primaries, but they still just installed her, remember, with no votes. Talk about election fraud. Then you got psycho new scum over there. We've got Biden in public, can't even talk now. He literally just gibbers. It just seems so easy to beat these people. But because of the fraud and because of all their operatives, it's kind of a catch-22. What do you think?
I think this, if I was their marketer once again, and I know my license or my vehicle to steal is going to be gone. It will be gone by then. I'm telling you, if it's not, we've lost our country anyway. Okay. So they're, if our election platforms are secure, if I'm them, I'm saying you got to get rid of all them. You got to go for maybe some traditional, go a whole different direction with the traditional, but way back in the day, Democrat, that if there is any out there that would be in the middle here where we used to have normal politics, if there ever was such a thing, because if they put up any of them in a normal election, they done. I mean, that's common sense. They're so far off common sense. I haven't seen any of them. It's like in disbelief. If you looked even 10 years ago or 20 years ago and said, look what you're going to have for the Democrat Party here, this far left, crazy, nonsensical things I think of, you know, but you know what, to take them and then all of a sudden they all change at the last minute. Oh, no, I'm common sense. I wasn't part of that transvestite, transgender, and three bathrooms, a men and women's floor. I wasn't part of that. You know, they're not going to be able to deny it. So I think you'd have to have somebody completely, almost like a no name, because I think 90% of them have completely ruined themselves by.
I totally agree. If it wasn't for the election fraud, I agree with Trump on the evidence. Almost none of these blue states and cities, Democrats aren't winning there. It's only fraud.
No, that's its only fraud.
When this gets taken out with what's coming out, it's already been mitigated. It's game over for them. So what do they do? I mean, because they're bad people. They're not going to give up.
Right. No, they're not going to give up. I don't know what they'll do. But we do know this, Alex. We know this. My cyber guys and stuff. Remember, I got cast vote records half the country for 2020. And in 2022, almost one third of the country. We couldn't find a place with the cast vote records, which, by the way, a cast vote record, everybody, either shows computer manipulation or it doesn't. There's no in between. And that might not say the election was flipped, but there's no in-between. Either they shows computer manipulation or not. We couldn't find any in the 2020 election, any county in the whole state or the whole country that wasn't manipulated. Okay? In the 2022 election, we did find some. Most of them were in Florida. In fact, I think all of them that we found were in Florida. There was no computer manipulation. And remember, DeSantis won Miami-Dade County by like 12 points. Hadn't even been won before. You're going, what? Well, my team's looked into this, and we took and went, wow. And the reason you had that big uptick is there was no computer manipulation. What we did, we took those numbers, everybody, and we extrapolate them. What if we finally had an example? What if over the whole United States, life without computers, and it was all paper? Because remember, there was no computer manipulation. So if we did that, and Alex, the number came back, 66% of this country was red. That means your purple places were red. Your bright red were as red as could be. Your California was like maybe purple. You know what I mean? So these deep inner cities that you think are blue, no, they're purple. This country is 65% red, meaning we'll call it mega red, call it common sense red. That's what I would call it. And I believe the number's higher. So they have convinced us through brainwashing and election crime, they have convinced us that we're a 50-50 country, and 15% of this country, 15% that they're stealing. They've made us convinced that, oh, you know, we're still like this. No, we're not. People want good lives while we're here. While we're here before we go to heaven, we want 65 to 70%.
And absolutely. And it's getting worse every day. People are totally turning on the Democrats. They're trying to get people to be mad at Trump. Things aren't happening quick enough. Yep. Yep. You'll throw him out, and we're throwing away our own victory. No, we complain about bad stuff because he's got people that he doesn't fully control. You hold his feet to the fire sometimes. But no, we don't throw this out. This is victory. If you ask Grok.
All right. Isn't that crazy? So something big is coming in the first quarter of 2026 regarding these stolen elections. I think it's going to be explosive news. I think President Trump knows that. Look at what I just showed you guys in Georgia. Now check this out. Down in Arizona, 218,000 Arizona votes were mistakenly marked as having provided documentary proof of citizenship. So they're now believing that hundreds of thousands of non-citizens voted in the Arizona election. That was also a state that Donald Trump supposedly lost by like 14,000. Right. And you'll remember that Fox News called that early, and then it took them nearly a month of vote counting where magically all of the remaining votes that were coming in were Biden. And then what happens? Donald Trump comes back in, they're not able to rig the election, and he absolutely curb stomps Kamala Harris by hundreds of thousands of votes. How did it swing that much? That's not what a swing state means. So we know that these elections have been rigged.
Lastly today, here is part of an interview with Patrick Byrne by one of the co-hosts on Infowars.com discussing the situation with Venezuela and just some of the reasons why Byrne believes there has never been a threat so dangerous to America since the U.S. Civil War. The software cut off Byrne's last word here in this interview, and I wasn't able to correct it. Sometimes software does strange things that I can't seem to fix. But what Byrne said was that he believes there's never been a threat like this to America since the Civil War.
Been on many times talking about Venezuela and other topics. How you doing, sir?
Good, Harrison. Good to be on. Thanks.
Very happy to have you. And I know you want to get into stuff other than Venezuela. What do you want to get into today?
I'm happy to get into Venezuela. I've also just broke something on Alex that he said that maybe you might want to talk about dealing with Hunter Biden. But we can talk about Venezuela. We can talk about Tina Peters and that travesty of justice. There's a wonderful letter from Peter Tichtin now.
That's the letter. No, I haven't seen that yet. I heard you talk to Alex about this. So I know that's what you want to get into. I would like to get into that because I want to know what the latest with Tina Peters is. But what is the latest with Venezuela? Since last time, what have the developments been?
Well, this morning, for the first time, we have F-18s over Venezuela. It's shown up, and they haven't been in stealth mode. Their transponders are going, so we're probably just trying to ratchet up. But we had on the radar this morning, they were showing that there's a city right on the coast that we had actually F-18s flying over this morning over Venezuelan territory. Mm. So we're upping the stakes until they either do something about it or they realize it's fruitless and they should just leave. And I know that Trump likes to drive a hard bargain, but our dear president, I wish he would say, maybe this is one time. It's not just if they want to leave and we let them go and bygones be bygones, they can go. If it's going to, we'll spend so much money fighting the war that if they're just willing to go and save us the money, I think we should avoid the war if we can.
Yeah, I think so. And it seems like Trump is, I don't want to sort of give up the game here, but it seems like he's trying to intimidate them into leaving. He's trying to, ratchet up as much as possible, but I don't think he really wants to go to war. It seems to me like he, one of the things he beats his chest about pretty regularly is the fact that he's ended wars and not started any wars. It seems like he's just sort of piling up all the firepower he can, but does he intend to actually use it?
Yeah, he has to. Well, he has to if they don't do what needs to be done. And I'm anti-war. I'm not at war. Any war I ever did support, I've regretted. I'm totally anti-war. I've seen war and its aftermath, and there's nothing glamorous. And it's a real last resort. But for the reasons Peter Tichtin said, that this is the most serious crime perpetrated against the United States in history, we have to change the regime in Venezuela. The cancer of Latin America, first of all, everyone we fight, from Hezbollah and Hamas to the Chinese, Russians, the Basque, we don't care about that. Every terrorist group in America has made Venezuela sort of their second home.
Their hub.
And we have, and what we have learned is they have overthrown us in a multi-pronged attack that involved 25 years of counter-espionage and infiltrating our government. It involves this whole fake election industry. It involves the drugs, the whole drug trade, which turns out to be a weapon. They understand it now. We know as it's been weaponized. And then lastly, what they just did to Trinidad-Aragua. And they, with Trinidad-Aragua getting them in our country and hundreds of thousands of other trained terrorists from south of Venezuela. So this was a four-pronged attack to overthrow our country we were never supposed to get out of. We got out of it because of a lucky uppercut on November 5th, 2024. That's not going to happen again. That's not going to happen again. But we have a lucky uppercut that kind of took out their election cheating system for a few days. And it's the only Peter Tichtin just wrote, Tina Peters' lawyer wrote this, where he described this as the biggest crime in the United States history. And it really is. It's 10,000 times worse than Pearl Harbor.
Why is Trump not making that the point then? Because so far, everything I've seen from the Trump administration is about the drugs, I've also seen that it's, fentanyl is mostly comes across the Mexican border as it's made in Mexico. So why are they making drugs the center point of their pitch to the American people if it's really about all this other stuff?
Well, I can't answer for the way they think or why they communicate as they do. I do know that the argument about, well, this and that percent of fentanyl comes through Venezuela and only this percent of cocaine, it's all misguided. Because the cartels of Latin America, including the four Mexican cartels, they're the little brothers. The big brother is the Venezuelan cartel. This is all a Cuban-Venezuelan strategy, communist overthrow. And they have ruined Latin America. One thing we've learned is we have the list of the bribes they've paid to politicians around Latin America. Every man of the person, every politician you've heard of on the left or in the center for your generation and for the last generation are all paid off. I'm talking about the Kitcheners, the couple who ran Argentina for forever. The guy from Ecuador, this left guy, man of the people. It's like $700 million went to the Kitcheners. $250 million went to the Ecuador. This guy named Danny Ortega in Nicaragua. And it was like $300 or $400 million he got. So these men of the people out there running, immiserating their country, their countries, they actually are getting great big deposits, great big cash or deposits in Switzerland. They're totally – so they're just the source of corruption and subversion in the Americas and need to be dealt with.
Yeah. I just wonder. I was watching a guy, a colonel or something, and he brought up a concern that I hadn't really thought of, which is I understand that, but is that a very compelling thing to tell to the parents whose sons will die from this? Because and we're showing some videos. I mean, Venezuela is not going to be knocked over, right? It's not a house of cards that is just going to collapse. It seems like they're ready to fight, and it seems like they back up to the rainforest. I mean, it seems to me like it's got all the makings of a quagmire. And I don't understand what the pitch is if you're, a parent whose son signed up for the army and gets killed in Venezuela. What are you dying for? What are they dying for?
They're dying for it because Venezuela committed not just an act of war against us, an act of conquest. They overthrew us. They held us for 4 years. They had a stoop who opened the gates of the city on the hill, and 20 million military men showed up. It was a stage in the conquest. There's never been, I think since the American Revolution, there's not been a more necessary war since maybe the Civil War, other than maybe the Civil War. This is more necessary than World War I or World War II. This was an attack on the United States, a existential attack, and we barely escaped it. This isn't some battlefield 5,000 miles away. This happened right here, and it's going to happen again. We've got the Cuban Venezuela. People have trouble imagining this because it's such a shithole little republic. How could it? No, it may seem silly. It may seem like a banana republic, but their subversion and espionage is world class. And this is what Americans don't have any natural sense of espionage. We do about wars and World War II and all this heavy equipment stuff. We don't just in our DNA understand espionage and the evil and the subversion that comes with it. So, I think this is the most. Now, this idea of this being in a quagmire, and I know Iraq, people compared to Iraq or Vietnam. Iraq had several major religions and a lot of people who were very different living there. Venezuela is 98% Christian. They play baseball. It's it's very easy. And they've lived under communism for 25 years. So you can be all but maybe at the top 10% of the people, tops, really support the regime. Right. Maybe even smaller than that. So I don't think it's going to be a quagmire, but in any case, if we're not going to do this, then there's no point in having a military. Right. This government overthrew our country. We can't let it slide. And some of the worst voices around Trump have been telling him all year, hey, listen, let's not get into listen to that. Let's let bygones be bygones with Venezuela. We'll bury the hatchet. They're willing to give us some oil field concessions, this and that. That's all the CIA talking. The CIA and Rick Grenell do not want us to get in war in Venezuela because I think they're controlled. I think they're controlled assets. And fortunately, Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, who has pleasantly surprised me, Marco Rubio, who I worried initially that he might have some cartel ties, he's being more plus royal que le roi, the French say, more royalist than the king. He is standing up to the cartels and saying we have to do this. So I got to admire that.
Yeah, interesting. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know. I can't co-sign it personally. I understand. the method. I just think there's more things to be concerned about. Like, if, you know, the Trinidad Aragua obviously, you know, did a lot of damage here, but it's like, okay, what I would be for is if we're going after Venezuela, at the same time, we're treating Alejandro Mayorkas like he's a enemy combatant, right? Because if that's what it was, if it was, you know, this act of war by Venezuela and they had collaborators here, then why aren't the collaborators here getting arrested first, right? And that wouldn't that be the first thing that you do is get the people in your country that collaborated before you go after Venezuela?
Maybe. I don't know. Have you heard about it? There's a new letter that came out last night from another Venezuelan general. You know, the head of military intelligence came out a couple of weeks ago.
I remember that one. Yeah, I thought this was the same letter. There's a new letter. Okay.
And it goes further. It establishes how Venezuela is a pure narco-terrorist state. This is a Venezuelan general. It's a narco-terrorist state led by two siblings named Rodriguez, Jorge Rodriguez and Delcy Rodriguez, It confirms that Trinidad Aragua, here's the letter up on the screen. Let's slide through this slowly. So this is the man introducing himself. Scroll down a bit, please. I'm providing information about the criminal structure that dictatorial governs Venezuela. So first,
the siblings, Jorge and Delce Rodriguez.
Those are the two names that people have to learn. And I just dropped a big thing on Alex's show. These two siblings, the boy, it's the Rodriguez siblings. The boy, Jorge Rodriguez, is a psychiatrist, but he's like Hannibal Lecter. The girl is Dart Delcy. She's the vice president. They are really the masterminds of everything we've been fighting the last 25 years. It's really these two. They are really the ones running Venezuela. The president of Venezuela is really about number five on the true list. The cartel is over him, and then the cartel reports to these two. And I dropped a big bomb on Alex. People did not know this. It had never been reported. But do you remember Carlos the Jackal, or are you too young? There used to be this masked world terrorist, Carlos the Jackal.
I don't remember him.
In the 80s, there was the most wanted. He was like Osama bin Laden before there was Osama bin Laden. And he was eventually killed. But he was actually their stepfather. Their real father was a narco-terrorist kidnapper who kidnapped somebody, and he got arrested and he died in prison in like 1976 or 78. They fled to France with their mother. Their mother joined up in Paris with Carlos the Jackal, who was living in Paris for years. I think that's where eventually was killed. So they're actually the god. That's Carlos the Jackal. They're actually the stepchildren of the greatest terrorists in the world from the 80s. They hate us. They think that the U.S. killed their father. But their father was in prison for kidnapping an American. I'd say rough justice. So that's who, and this is them. This is the two siblings that really run Venezuela, although they don't show up on paper as the leaders. The cartel, which is Diosdado Cabello, report to them, and then they're over the president. So I try to keep the names. People, when they hear too many names, they lose it. So that's one thing to know. TDA, the CIA, and others around Trump were trying to say, well, yeah, a bunch of these terrorists came, but we don't know if they really, these turned their dragon, we don't know if they really report to the Venezuelan government. It's a flat lie. We know absolutely. And the general who put it together is the guy who just wrote this letter. The general who just wrote this letter says, I was the guy, there was a prison riot. I went in to quell the riot. And then I got orders from these people not to kill everybody. And they brought down the minister of sports. And the minister of sports became the handler of the prison gang. And then we started using the prison gang all over Venezuela to do our dirty work. So that's one. And now they have sent tens of thousands. The real problem with Trinidad Aragua is in southern Vietnam, there are all these terrorist training camps from all over the world. Terrorists come show up and get their training. The Trinidad Aragua folks have been trained. There's an element within them who've been trained to be terrorist cell leaders. So when all these people came, hundreds of thousands in the United States, when you have a guerrilla movement like this, you do cells, of course, and each cell has a leader. The TDA has a bunch of trained cell leaders, thousands of them. So it's really so that's one thing they did. Another thing they did is he identifies the Venezuelan army general, Carlos Quintero, an engineer, is over the Smartmatic. And in fact, he engineered frauds using Smartmatic in Venezuela and in the USA. So now they've confirmed, we got a second Venezuelan general confirming Smartmatic was built to steal elections in Venezuela, and then it got exported to the rest of the world, and we've done it in your country. Relations with Iran. Venezuela has close ties with Iran, IRGCC, and Hezbollah. There's a famous island off Venezuela called Isla Margarita, supposed to be the most beautiful girls in the world and everything. It has become like what Daytona Beach used to be. For, I don't know if it still is. Daytona Beach for college kids at spring break was the big thing. Isla Margarita is now the Daytona Beach of Hezbollah worldwide. Right. It's just Hezbollah and Hamas. Another thing in this letter, the guy says, is I was there when U.S. Congress visited visited, and Maduro and Chavez bragged that we own these U.S. congressmen. Now, the letter that was released last night does not name it, but people should understand the letter that was released last night was just sort of the PG version. There is an R-rated version, and the R-rated version of that letter, they do name exact. They name names, who the congressmen are on the take from Venezuela, and as well as all the details on these other things. The drug trafficking has been, drug trafficking is not some random stochastic activity. It's been weaponized. Cuba and Venezuela weaponized it. The drug, so these Mexican cartels we fight, they're the little brothers. This is the headquarters. Venezuela is the headquarters. And then, so to me, the fact that, all that ugly background is bad enough that we have this in our backyard. But on top of it, they overthrew our country for 4 years, and they're still trying this. You know, they're funding Soros. Soros is billions. A bunch of it comes from Venezuela. They overthrew our country. They installed Biden, and they sent all these people into our country. This, if we don't change that regime, I'm not sure what we have a military for. And I'm sorry if you have a son that goes there and that son wasn't willing to die for that. I'm not sure why your son joined the army. There's never been a threat to the United States in my lifetime, or I think since the Civil War, there's never been a threat like that.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030919 77 and on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and check out our related videos section toward the bottom there. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.